Ah, entonces tu papá sí ya no iba.
Sí, no creo que sus amigos le digan nomás, creo que nomás la familia, dice Junior.
Sí, nada más la familia, ¿verdad? Porque nosotros le decimos Joel. Bueno, yo le digo Joel en español, pero él quiere que le digan en inglés Joel.
El gringo, sí.
El gringo, ¿qué? Entonces, ¿cuántos años le llevas a Joel?
¿Mande?
¿Cuántos años le llevas a Joel? Como, ¿are you much older than him?
I think he's 25 now, right? 25, 26. I'm 35, so
So you're
a good
about 10
10
years.
years.
Oh, wow. So how did you how old were you whenever you went to juvie or like started being in prison?
Well, that's a good question. Let's see. First time I ever went to jail, I had to say I was young. I was a good 15, 16 years old when I stepped into a juvenile detention center. I really never went to it. I mean, I'm not saying I'm bragging or anything, but I never was caught when I was young. I didn't start going to jail till I was like to jail, like let's say county jail in Tarrant County, como a las 17, 18 years old. But I did stay in the juvenile detention center often. My mom had to go pick me up for, fights or causing a havoc here and there. But yes, but I would say a good 15 years old I started.
Oh,
Yeah,
wow.
really young, so.
And then how would you feel after you got your freedom back and you were back home?
Wow, it's a feeling that it's never, you can't explain the feeling. I mean, the feeling that you feel is unexplainable. I still remember the first time, well, the first time I went to prison, I remember it was my mom, Junior, I mean, Joel, y my smallest sister, Lizbeth, that they picked me up downtown at I guess it's a subway station. I'm not sure where the train's at that goes to Dallas. And it was overwhelming. I mean, I only did 2 years that time, but for me, it was like, wow, my freedom back. I didn't even believe it when I got out of prison. You know what I mean? I was like, wow, all I knew was prison for 2 years. So I basically had turned into my world, something that somebody should never say that they got used to it, but I got used to it. I mean, I was like, wow. I mean, I admitted it. I was like, okay, I did the crime, so now I'm gonna do the time. You know what I mean? But when I got out, it was amazing. I mean, it was an amazing feeling.
I know that Junior or Joel always talks about you, or he talked about you a lot since we were in high school, and would say that he missed you and that he would write to you letters. Did you ever keep any of those letters from him?
All my letters that I had, throughout these years that I've been over here in Mexico, have been lost. Him, Erica, and my mom really always wrote me. Stay constantly with communication, you know what I mean? Because that was one thing that people needed when they were locked up, some kind of family, affection that kept you staying inside. Because I knew people in there that their families never even try to reach out to them, you know what I mean? And that caused them to be even worse persons inside of prison than they probably were outside in the world, you know what I mean? They probably did some crazier things inside prison than they did in the world. And we say the world because inside of prison is a world, you know what I mean? So you can't keep your mind in the outside world, you have to be inside in the world you were inside. That's why I used to reference in the world, in the free world, they use that as well. But yeah, Junior constantly kept in communication with me. That helped me a lot, keep my mind focused on what I was wanting to do to get out. You know what I mean? Because you were easily influenced, especially if you were a young Hispanic male, with other alpha males, you know what I mean, in prison. It easily influenced by other people, like, hey, let's do this, and you know what, then people are against us or something like that, And in prison, it's not something that you can, well, I mean, you can, but it's going to be really hard for you. You know what I mean? People are not going to take that, I want to stay to the side and not do nothing. They're gonna take that as a kind of weakness and try to take advantage of that. You know what I mean? Try to work, be deceitful, deceive you, and try to get you in your trust by just telling you lies. And you know what I mean? So by having your family, keeping communication, it keeps you sane. Y puedes mucho still stay focused on what you had to do. So yeah, Junior, my mom, Erica. You do know Erica, right? Mm-hmm. Your sister.
Sí.
Yeah, with her. Sí. Te ayudó mucho con las cartas que mandaban, so.
Maybe if you have one of them that you liked in particular, it could be included in the book. So because it's going to be a book about people's experiences who've, you know, been in detention centers or in jail. And if you'd be okay with that, then we could
yeah, you
include
know,
some
I'll
of that.
I'll take a look. Yeah, for sure. I'll take a look at, because I do have my drawings, because that's what I mostly spend my time doing in there.
Oh, yeah, that
drawing,
would be perfect. Yeah, your
tattooing.
Drawings. Send me some of your drawings if you don't mind, then I can include those for sure.
I sure can. It's a whole bunch of unfinished work that I had, but I mean, most of it, it's because it's what I did, tattoos inside of there. That's what mainly distracted me in there was the tattooing.
Wow, that's
yeah,
so cool. How did you manage to do tattoos without any tools or?
Oh, we made tattoos with ordinary stuff like lights. We used to there. I don't know if you know, like when you go to the restroom in schools, there's lights, the long lights.
Mm-hmm.
They have something called a relay inside of them. It's like a little square motor with copper wrapping inside of it, and somebody else took this apart and they contrabanded inside of our dorm, and then we got a little piece of metal. We bent it. We made our own guns in there. I can actually tell you almost step by step on how to make a gun. You know what I mean? And for needles, we used something called a wire brush. That was something that like a brush, a wire brush. Basically, that's what it is. Just to clean the walls. We just got the new ones, and we used that as needles because it was a thinnest thing that we could find, and I mean tattoos came out almost next to perfection, you know what I mean, if you knew what you were doing. But yeah, I mean, that was a good experience right there. I mean, we did it with all, we did relays, we made hand wrap guns. What does that mean? We took a angel wire copper hair, that means the most thinnest one that there is, and we wrapped it ourselves with 1,000 wraps. It's called, you go 500 one way, 500 the other way, and we used two Scrabble pieces to make a base, you know what I mean? And
oh,
we just wrapped them, and we used our radios to get power. Basically, it was like a headphone jack for power. You just plugged it in there, and there you go, you got your gun. And how we made it go faster or lower was with the volume. When you turned it up, it went faster. When you turned it down, it went slower.
Oh, wow. So, that's fascinating. That's amazing.
Yes, I mean, I'm going to tell you one thing about prisoners. Well, I've only been in prison in Texas, so. And prisons in Texas are people, they're smart, some of the most, not smart, but they know how to, how would you say? They know how to make things, you know what I mean? Like, what is called prison-made things, radios, they wired radios so you can hear TV on the radio. Whatever was on TV, you can get those channels on there. It was just a matter of spacing out the receptors for the radio waves. And then you could also get an interception with the TV waves. And you all got nothing but audio. But as well, I mean, I learned some pretty good things in there. I'm ashamed to say that a prison was like a school to me, because I learned how to be a better criminal. And not just that, I mean, most of my life, me, probably you know about Joel, that he likes computers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Back when I was young, I used to take computers apart, you know what I mean? And just for the fun, and to learn everything about them, not learn exactly, but how do they work, you know? And since I was young, Junior, I mean, he used to watch me just take computers apart, and put them back up in, or try to modify them a little bit, my build my own, what I knew. And from there, it went on, you know, electronics, DVD players, tape players, whatever. When I got to prison, I seen that they had this conocimiento, ¿verdad? Que podían quitar todas las partes y ponerlas para atrás. And I'd be like, hey, I know a little bit about this, you know, let me help you out. And from there, I went on, you know what I mean? And I started making, in prison, I started making guns and then selling them at first. And since I was in the, when I was in Fort Worth, I started tattooing. That's what I picked up. I started tattooing and practicing. So when I went to prison, I basically tuned the tattooing. You know what I mean? I perfected it. Mm-hmm. I practiced a lot. But yeah, prison is something, it's, in one way it's bad, but in the other way, 50-50, one way bad and one way good, because you learned a lot of things about yourself, about people, and you also get to see the bad in people, so you can try to stay away from it.
Because you're in survival mode, it seems, so then you have to learn. It's not like you have an option.
Exactly. That's the best way to put it. You're on survival mode, because, mm-hmm. believe it or not, once you enter prison, it's a different world. Let me tell you, when I first entered prison, I was so paranoid. Even though in the world, you could looked at me and probably be like, okay, this guy right here, he's fearless. That's how many people seen me, you know what I mean? I never back down from a fight, even though 9 times out of 10, I'm going to get beat up, you know what I mean? But mm-hmm. I never back down. But once I went to prison, I seen this was a whole new ball game now, you know what I mean? I wasn't playing regular table football. Now I'm playing professional football type stuff. And you go into prison, this is just, I don't know how it goes for other races, but this was for Mexicans, you know what I mean? I mean, you walked in, your own people come to you, you know what I mean? They tell you, hey, where you from? Oh, no, I'm from Fort Worth, Texas. Oh, okay, look, there's some people from Fort Worth over there, you know, some people from Dallas you might want to talk to. You know what I mean? They always ask you when you first go in, do you run with anybody? Are you affiliated with any prison gangs? You know, when I first went in there, I wasn't affiliated with any gangs. It wasn't after maybe about a couple, maybe a year or so later that, unfortunately, I became affiliated with them. But they ask you, you know what I mean? They try to find a weakness to you when you first walk in, you know what I mean? So if you walk in with all your stuff and they see you got food or something that they can use of you, they can have to use, they'll approach you. They'll be friendly. Hey, what's going on? Your own race. I mean, what's going on? Now, yeah. Well, can I have some soups or something? And you know what I mean? They ask. And if you give, that's going to open the doors for them to keep asking. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And if they see you that you're kind of paranoid or kind of nervous, they take that to their advantage and they use that. And that's, I believe, with every race, you know what I mean? Because in prison, what the worst thing that's in there is extortion. And they don't do extortion to the max. It's extortion as being friendly, like almost asking for it in a nice way. But if you're not street smart or anything like that, you're gonna think, oh, it just wants to be my friend or something, but really it's nothing like that. It's just trying to take advantage of you and get everything they want from you, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's almost like you don't have a choice, because safety, there's safety in numbers, as they say.
Exactly, it's safety in numbers, and these guys operate like that, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to say I was one of those guys that extorted anybody or anything like that, because I've always had a good head on my shoulders, but I mean, I did participate in stuff like that, you know what I'm saying? Unfortunately, I'm not too proud to say, but we did practice and stuff like that, you know what I'm saying? When we seen weakness, there was a time in my, last time I went to prison, I did 5 years. In those 5 years, it only took me 6 months to get accustomed to the prison lifestyle. What I did was I shut down everybody from the free world. I stopped thinking of them, you know what I mean? My mom and Junior and stuff like that, they try to go see me as much as they could, but they shot me to the boonies, you know what I mean? From Fort Worth to where I was at, 8-9 hours of driving. You know what I mean? That's on the way. That's maybe go 18-19 hours going there and back. Mm. But so I told him, hey, you know what? Don't even if y'all can come visit me, that'd be more than wonderful. You know, once every month or at least every 3 months or something like that. But y'all don't waste y'all money coming down here. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I told him I can work. I draw. I tattoo. I learn how to cut hair better inside of prison. You know what I mean? So there's things to make money there. And but unfortunately, yes, there was a lot of hey, you know what? This guy over here got this and that. And you know what? Let's go talk to him. And unfortunately, we did take people's foods. I remember one time before I went to prison, I was in the county. There was this white boy. And this white boy liked to talk out of his butt, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so it was me and one of my other friends and, well, associates, I would say. And, we went and took all this guy's food because he had a big mouth, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He had a big mouth, wanted to talk about his money and all that. So we took all his food. The dude didn't do nothing. I mean, the cameras didn't see anything at all, but... I feel bad afterwards, you know what I mean? I mean, I was eating the guy's soup in my cell, and I was like, damn, this guy could have ate his soup later on, you know? Mm-hmm. He's gonna be hungry.
What kind of soup was it? Was it like maruchan?
It was a maruchan, yes, correct. We had maruchas. It was three kinds. It was the spicy beef, I mean, the shrimp with habanero, and then you had the regular, and then they had chicken. So, yeah, that's basically, that's another thing we can talk about as well, the food there, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I still make maruchas, I don't know, since I was little, maruchas have been my thing, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Way before I went to jail, my mom always bought me a 24-pack of packages of maruchas, and that was me, you know what I mean? Nobody else ate them but me.
And which flavor did she get you?
Always chicken.
Always chicken.
Yes, I mean, I like all of them. I don't have if it's a maruchan label, I'm in there. You know what I mean? That's I swear to God, I'm going to get a maruchan tattooed on me. It's one of the things that I've got going because I love them.
Yeah, they're relatively cheap and they fill you up. They're pretty good, yeah.
They're awesome, yeah.
So whenever you were younger and you liked to take computers apart, what did you think that you wanted to be like when you grew up, or did you think about that at all? Like, I want to be an engineer, or?
You know what? To be honest with you, when I was young, I didn't think about my future. I lived day by day. My motto back when I was young was, you know what? Can we cuss? Can I cuss? I can, right?
Yeah, you can cuss.
Okay. I was like, fuck it. You know what I'm saying? That was my motto. Fuck it, y'all ain't got no money. Well, fuck it, I don't care. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna eat. And that's how I was when I was young. It wasn't thinking about my future, nothing like that. Because at a young age, I was in the streets. You know what I mean? I was, if I would think right, I was maybe about 14 years old. I'm in the streets already smoking marijuana. You know what I mean? And I'm running with the older cats. I'm not running with people that were young like my age. I was running with the older cats and soaking in their game. That's basically how I was raised. And my mom, trust me, my mom tried to keep me in the house all the time. My mom went to the extremes to not let me out. You know what I mean? The windows, she would drill them. So I wouldn't leave midnight through my windows. You know what I mean? The doors are locked key. And there was no key for you to open it, you know what I mean? But I always found my way to go out there in the streets and, how they say, thug it out, you know? But when I was growing up, I wasn't thinking that, wow, I'm going to be a doctor or I'm going to be a fireman or nothing like that or nothing like an engineer or nothing.
You were thinking, like, how am I going to help my family? Because, you know, how am I going to feed my family? Because I remember Joel told me that... that you would give him, like, video games, or you once gave him a video game, and he was really excited, like a PlayStation 2 or something?
yes. One time, well, I'm not going to go into detail, but I came across a whole bunch of PlayStation 1s with screens on them. Brand new, over 60 of them, and Junior seen them. I came home, and Junior seen them, And he was like, "Hey, what's going on?" And I was like, "Nothing, bro. Look, grab you a PlayStation, man. Grab an extra control. You can have it." And he was like, "For real?" And I was like, "Grab it, bro. It's yours." And he was really, really happy about that. You know what I mean? And, yes, that's basically what I was thinking about. I mean, I grew up in a home without a father. You know what I mean? That did not affect us as much because my mother was my mother and my father. She did everything for us. My mom was always working. I was the oldest one from the clan, so I was always taking care of Joelle. I was taking care of Erica and Elizabeth, but those are my sisters, and that's how I was always in the streets. I became a thief at a young age. I hate to say it, but I became addicted to stealing. It was something that I had to do. Like, I couldn't go to a store and not steal a candy. You know what I mean? Something like that. Or I couldn't go to, I don't know if you remember, Carnival food store. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the Carnival food store? Okay, mm-hmm. I couldn't go to a Carnival food store and not come out of there with a 40. You know what I mean? I'll go in there and steal up here. Just steal it. I had money. But I'd rather steal it than buy it. You know what I mean? It was hectic when I was young. I'm not going to say that not growing up without a father affected me, because it really didn't. Like I mentioned, I hung around older people, you know what I mean? So that affection was filled. Like I'm not going to say they gave me father affection, but they gave me, me dieron consejos, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And they would be like, "Hey, bro, I know you're young, but chill, do this, get money, don't worry about it. Don't think about it. Just get money." That's what they would tell me. You know what I mean? They weren't trying to be father figures to me. They weren't trying to tell me stop smoking weed, stop drinking, or go home. They wouldn't tell me that. I'd be like, "Nah, chill. Smoke you a blunt. Let's go get some money." And that's what we did. I mean, we went to get money. I remember one time that. One time, Junior did come into the room, in my room, and he was like, "What's going on here?" But I had radios, I had subwoofer systems, amplifiers, up the wazoo, you know what I mean, in my room. I'm going to say a good 100 stereos and 100 plus speakers and amps and stuff like that. And that was just in one night, you know what I mean? Ridiculous stuff like that. I mean, it was addicting to me, like the adrenaline rush that it gave me was uncomparable to any other drug that I could tell you. You know what I mean? It was crazy. I would think I was in the movie Fast and the Furious when they had the black cars, the very first one. You know what I'm saying? Because we rode around in Honda. And that's how it was. I mean, my life was a movie. There was nobody could tell me different when I was young. It was a movie.
You always like seeking out like strong or like intense emotional experiences, like the adrenaline you said.
Exactly. I had a lot of friends that also try to follow the steps, and I'm gonna be honest with you, not a lot of them could keep up. I mean, I learned how to steal cars from the Asians. The Asians I used to hang out with. I basically, let's say, I graduated from car stereos to stealing the whole thing. Just hanging out with Asians, because back when I was in middle school, that's who I hung out with. I hung out with the Asians. I was a breakdancer back in my days, and all my friends were Asians. They were Vietnamese.
Oh, wow.
Vietnamese or Cambodians. I only had, let's see, it was me, Nestor, his brother Junior, Carlos, and a black guy named Mario, who thought was Mexican. He still lives around Fort Worth, somewhere around there, but. And then the sixth member, his name was Sang. He was Vietnamese, and we started hanging out with him. And from him, we met other people, Vietnamese, and his uncles and cousins and all like that. And they were into stealing cars. And they recruited Song. And they recruited him. And that's where he went. We parted ways back when we grew up. But then all the Asian people that I met around there, I started hanging out with them. You know what I mean? Going out to parties with them and just going with that. And that's how it came about. Hey, man, they told me that you can get into cars pretty fast, man. And let's go and see what you got. And I was like, are you serious? And they're like, yeah, man, let's go see what you got. We got, we can teach you, you know, so you can help us out and this and that. And from there, it went to stealing cars. I only stole Hondas, but that's all we stole was Honda Civics, Honda Preludes, Honda Accords, whatever. If it was Honda, we were stealing. And sometimes I became so addicted to stealing cars that I would steal them just to joyride them.
And then put them, leave them back?
Yeah, I would just leave them anywhere. I'm not going to lie to you. I've stolen cars to go from point A to point B.
That makes sense. So if you were to meet yourself, like, during that time, during your teenage years, what do you think that you would say, like, to the past you? Like, the age that you are now?
Well, that's a good question. That's a very good question. Because now, I'm way, way beyond mature. I do too much thinking now. I would say to myself, you know, hey, man, open your eyes, bro, because I'm you from the future, and it ain't nice. You know what I mean? Well, it's nice right now. I mean, I'm living a normal life. I have my own house. You know what I mean? I work from home. I work from home. I'm on a computer all day. That's all I do. And I would tell a man, just be careful, man. Slow down. Slow your pace, man. Slow your roll. Because life gets tough, and if I was talking to myself, I would get life for using to get real tough. So slow down, because you're going to crash. And
you were a cancer survivor, right?
That's exactly correct. When I was young, when I was 9 years old, I had a cancer. I think it was called the Hodgkin's lymphoma. This time we're living in Dallas. Well, we're living in Dallas. Yeah, we're living in Dallas, Texas, Garland, Texas, actually. And I was diagnosed with cancer. I mean, when it started, it was horrible. I was always in pain. I lost all my hair. I mean, went to treatments. I remember at Children's Hospital in Dallas, and they told my mom, you know, I was right there. You know, what I mean? They were like, your son got 6 months to live. You know what I mean? We done everything we could. I mean, we just can't stop it. And to me, I was young. I didn't know what that meant. You know what I mean? I didn't know what it meant when the doctor said, your son only got 6 months to live. You know what I mean? I was like, what do you mean, live here? You know, I was thinking, because I was always in the hospital. Till my mom was like, you know what, my son's not going to die. She found him in a hospital called Cook Children's in the Hospital in Fort Worth, right there. And we went there, and they had some chemotherapy. I remember the Dallas Cowboys actually opened a new floor at that hospital when I first was there. And they basically, I met Troy Aikman and stuff like that when he was back, famous quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. He told me, man, keep your head up, man. And when I was young, I didn't know who he was, but I knew who the Cowboys were. And he was like, keep your head up. I know you got a lot of cancer. I was one of the cancer patients that was not the worst, but one of the worst, you know what I mean? And fortunately, Coop Trinity was very good and took care of that. And they didn't give me no 6 months. They gave me the rest of my life to live. You know, they were like, no, he's good. We got chemotherapy. He's going to lose more of his hair, but he's going to be okay. And 2 years later after that, I was 11 years old, and the cancer was gone. You know, it was dormant. Until this day, the cancer is gone. And that's one thing that I do appreciate from them, that they helped me out. Because, you know what I mean? I mean, that's something serious. Cancer is something serious. Not everybody survives cancer. I remember not a lot from my cancer days. To be honest with you, I think the chemotherapy and me being always sick and always sedated interfered with most of my memories, because I don't have recollections of much of that. I have pictures that I can see that my family has that I could be like, oh, okay, look, I remember a little bit about this. You know what I mean? And I only have memories of me. Like happy memories, basically, when my family was with me, and that was it. But that having cancer did affect a lot of my when I was young. So, but I'm glad everything's good now. So,
So how much time did you serve, like, altogether? And then can you tell me how come you wound up in Mexico after serving all that time in the States?
Oh yeah, I can. I mean, the first time I had a 4-year sentence, I only did 2 years. And then this time I had a 5-year sentence and I did the whole five because I wasn't being good, you know. I was in there just acting up because I knew I was going to get deported. I was born here in Monterrey, Mexico. So when I was 14 months old, I went to California. We migrated to the U.S. And from California, when I was five, we went to Texas from five and up, right? And I was trying to get my papers. My father at that time was trying to get my citizenship, but my father was always he became a drug dealer as well. So once he started doing that, getting my papers was basically put to the side. You know, he was doing his thing so the family can survive. You know what I mean? Selling cocaine, and I seen it all. I mean, that right there could be a something that probably influenced me. Not influenced, but subconsciously influenced that what I became, because I seen it all my life with him. And the second time I went, I did a 5-year sentence, so the whole thing was 7 years, you know what I mean? And then when I was doing these 5-year sentence, a year and a half into the sentence, immigration comes talk to me, and they tell me, hey, what's your name, you know? I gave them my name, and I stuck to my story. I was born in the U.S., you know? And it came out that I was from over here, and they were like, well, you're going to get deported, bro. That's all we can say, and you can do half your time and then get deported. Well, since they told me that I was getting deported, I lost my mind. I was like, well, I'm getting deported. Well, why am I going to fight to get parole or anything like that? I mean, I'm not going to get any parole. And they don't give parole to illegal immigrants. You know what I mean? They either serve most of their sentence and get deported or just get deported right away. But yeah, I did 5 years, and then I was deported over here to Mexico. So,
what does that's really silly that they do that. That's insane to me. I'm undocumented, so I feel that. And I've only been arrested once when I was younger for stealing too. But yeah, it was really scary because I thought I was gonna get deported, and I didn't know what my mom was gonna do. But so what does the American dream mean to you? Like, when you hear that, like, the American dream, what do you picture?
Well, on my behalf, the American dream is basically, since I live here in Mexico, I'm gonna tell you that a lot of people have that dream, you know what I mean? But not a lot of them do. A lot of them don't like the U.S. But I mean, the American dream to me is basically going to the States, working and having a better life. Because in Mexico, you work, you work, you work, and you work. You know what I mean? That's it. That's all you do. In the States, you can work. You're gonna get your house, your automobile. You're gonna get things that you need to live, right? You're gonna keep working as well. You're gonna work, 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 but you're working for things that you're getting. You know what I mean? In Mexico, is a lot harder because you can work, 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 and at the end of the day, you pay all your bills, buy a little bit of food, but you ain't got nothing to eat, you know, by the end of the week. And the States, to me, the American dream is going, living right, and just being with your family. You know what I mean? And that's it. To me, that's the American dream. Just going to the States, living right, and getting away from the poverty. Because that's what everybody basically tries to do their whole life. And not just criminals or nothing like that. Everybody works where work. Criminals work their own way. But I mean, normal people also work, and all they want to do is do their best for their family. Because I mean, I've never met anybody, criminal or a normal citizen, that has not said, you know, I work for myself, or I work just to have fun. Nobody. I've always met people that, you know what, why did you sell drugs, or why did you steal? And I've always had, 9 times out of 10, the same answer. Shit, so my family can get ahead. Why'd you sell drugs? For my family. You know what I mean? And I believe that the American dream, I mean, everybody should have a chance. Not just, be, yeah, I mean, in my situation, I understand, you know, I kicked the ball too far, you know what I mean? I took it to a further extent that I shouldn't have, you know what I mean? But, I mean, yeah.
Do you think about going back? And I'll let you go in a little bit since it's already 40 minutes. And I know you have work in a bit. But we can always pick up where we left off next time that we talk. But yeah, do you have plans to go back? It's the last thing I'll ask you.
Yeah, I actually do have plans to go back. Like I mentioned to my fam, you know, I don't know if they how they take it or anything. I basically, since I've been in Mexico, I've done more than I've ever done in my life. You know what I mean? I own my own house. So in the States, I never owned my house. I was always in the street. I was always at a friend's house, stuff like that. But I want to get myself situated 100% before I can go to, so I can go back to the States. So I can be like, you know, have something to fall back on, basically. Like, if I do go back with my family that I have now here, take them over there as well. And if worse comes to worse, I have to come back. Well, I have a house to come back to. You know what I mean? Because I don't want to go over there. And I know myself. You know what I mean? I'm easily influenced. I'm an eat greedy kind of person. If money comes in my path, I'm gonna be like, you know what? Let's go get that. Because yes, let's go get that. Even though I've been through what I've been through. I know myself enough to say, and I can be honest to say, you know what? Let's get that money, bro. Let's go get it. You know what I mean? So I'm still fighting with those demons, but day by day, I'm overcoming that because I know money isn't everything now. But when I do get back to the States, I know I do want to go back, most definitely. Yes. So my family's over there.
That's beautiful. I love that. I'm still fighting with my demons. Well, I guess that will be a good time to get off. I'm going to go have breakfast in a little bit, but I'm going to keep in touch with you about the consent form, and then we'll do another call if you'd like, and we can also exchange, like, your art. Like, if you could maybe scan it or just take a picture so we can include it, that would be really cool. And if you have, like, pictures of yourself when you were young, then we can include some of those, too.
On that note, the picture, you might want to ask Joel, porque, to be honest with you, I ain't got no pictures of myself when I was young. I have one, maybe, that I have here that Erica sent me when I first got here. It was of me.